La 7140.
The 7146th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is non-proliferation. The agenda is adopted. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of item 2 of the agenda. At this meeting, the Security Council will hear a briefing by Ambassador Gary Quinlan, permanent representative of Australia, in his capacity as chair of the Security Council Committee, established pursuant to Resolution 1737, dated 2006. I shall now give the floor to Ambassador Gary Quinlan.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the honour to present the report of the committee established pursuant to Resolution 1737 of 2006, in accordance with paragraph 18H of the same resolution. The present report covers the period from 13 December 2013 to 19 March 2014, during which time the committee held two informal meetings, one informal meeting, and conducted additional work using the no objection procedure envisaged by paragraph 15 of the guidelines for the conduct of the committee's work. The committee presented its annual report to the President of the Council on 27 December last year. The annual report provides a useful snapshot of the range of activities pursued by the committee in accordance with its mandate over that year. I would particularly like to highlight the committee's communications with member states and international organisations on matters of implementation and compliance, providing guidance to member states who request assistance with their implementation of the relevant provisions of the key resolutions is obviously a critical dimension of the committee's programme of work, and I encourage all member states to take us up on our offer. Another aspect of our work highlighted by the annual report is the reports from member states themselves of action they have taken to enforce the sanctions measures. Some of these cases related to violations of national implementation measures investigated by local enforcement authorities. For others, the member state concerned invited the panel of experts to investigate the incident, in particular those that appeared to be a breach by Iran of its obligations under the resolutions. And I cannot overstate the importance to the committee's work of these incident reports and the willingness of member states to invite the panel of experts to participate in the investigation of such incidents. The committee twice reached out to Iran last year in relation to incidents investigated by the panel of experts. We wrote on 12 April in relation to the panel's unanimous conclusion that Iran's launches of the Shabab 1 and 3 missiles during the Great Prophet 7 exercises contravened paragraph 9 of Resolution 1929. And on 21 May, in relation to the panel's conclusion that an intercepted arms shipment in Yemen was at the very least a probable violation by Iran of paragraph 5 of Resolution 1747. Iran has still not replied, and the committee continues to call on Iran to do so. Madam President, although the committee remains mindful of ongoing talks between the P5 plus 1 and Iran following the joint plan of action agreed in Geneva on 24 November last, the work of both the committee and the panel of experts remain unchanged for 2014. As I mentioned during my last report in December, the Security Council measures imposed by Resolutions 1737, 1747, 1803 and 1929 remain in effect, and member states continue to have an obligation to implement them duly. The committee adopted its programme of work for the period 1 January to 30 June this year on 24 January, and has already been actively engaged with member states. The committee received multiple communications from several member states updating the committee on the outcome of enforcement actions they'd taken. One member state reported on the steps it had taken to prevent multiple attempts in 2011 and 2012 by Iran to procure carbon fibre suspected of being in violation of relevant Security Council resolutions. Another member state informed the committee of the confirmation of the judgment against a person found guilty of violating its laws implementing the Council sanctions on Iran. The committee continued to consider its response to the report by the panel of experts, which had concluded that Iran's attempted procurement of carbon fibre in December 2012, these goods were intercepted and seized by a member state, contravened the resolutions. The permanent representative of a member state named in media reports as having contracted to procure arms from Iran in contravention of paragraph 5 of Resolution 1747 called on me in my capacity as chair of the committee to deny the reports. The permanent mission also sent a note verbale to the committee in similar terms. The panel of experts is separately engaging with the member state concerned on those reports. During the reporting period, the committee has responded to requests for guidance from member states covering a number of issues, from notification requirements and engagement with the originating state of seized items, to the supply of target shooting ammunition to Iran for sport shooting purposes, to updated lists of designated individuals, entities and goods to which the sanctions apply. The committee is also working with an international organisation on clarifying whether a particular proposal for technical assistance to Iran is compatible with the sanctions regime. The committee has also engaged with a number of member states over the past 3 months on the implementation of the targeted financial sanctions regime. The committee provided additional identifying information of a listed individual from publicly available sources, including photographs, to assist a member state clarify a possible match. The committee similarly responded to another state's request for assistance in determining whether particular entities were included in the committee's consolidated list. And the committee itself received assistance from a member state which transmitted to us a list of persons who had travelled through the country with names similar to those of listed individuals and provided additional identifying information for these possible matches that was missing from the committee's consolidated list, such as birth dates and passport numbers. This data will allow the committee to determine whether any of the individuals were indeed listed individuals travelling in contravention of the travel ban, and in that case to strengthen the effectiveness of both the ban and targeted financial sanctions by including the new identifying data to the consolidated list. As we are approaching the end of the panel of experts' current mandate and the submission of its next final report in May, I thought it would be timely to inform the Council of the outcome of the committee's deliberations on the panel's recommendations to the committee from its report of May 2013. The panel's first recommendation was to designate an entity the panel found to be in violation of paragraph 12 of Resolution 1929 for procuring valves for use in the Iraq heavy water reactor. The committee stands ready to consider such a designation if and when a member state puts the designation to the committee as required by the committee's guidelines. Second, the panel recommended that the committee encourage states to be alert to attempted procurement of any items destined for an end use prohibited by the resolutions. This is a reference to the fact that the obligation to prevent the supply to Iran of all items which could contribute to Iran's prohibited nuclear and missile-related activities applies not only to items included in the lists named in the resolutions and updated by the committee, but to any further items if the member state determines that they could contribute to those prohibited activities. The committee continues to discuss if some form of written guidance for member states on this obligation is necessary. And in the meantime, we encourage any member state with questions concerning the scope of this obligation to contact the committee. The panel's third recommendation related to vessels under the control of the Iran-Ohind Shipping Company, which is a designated entity under sanctions. This company was dissolved by its joint venture partners in the first part of 2013, preventing the committee from taking up this recommendation. Fourth, the panel recommended that the committee consider providing guidance to states on how to implement aspects of the targeted financial sanctions which extend the application of the measures to agents and affiliates of designated persons and entities. noting the language identified in this recommendation is used in targeted financial sanctions under other Council resolutions. The committee has been reluctant to consider this question unilaterally. We have, however, begun a process of consultation with other relevant sanctions committees to consider this issue collectively. It's a very dry report, so I just require a bit of water. But we are approaching the end. The panel's fifth recommendation was for the committee to provide guidance on the modalities surrounding a state's inspection of cargoes and possible seizing of goods suspected to be in contravention of the resolutions, including such matters as timing and content of reports to the committee and inviting inspection by the panel. The committee is developing text to include in the committee's fact sheet and other relevant committee documents. Finally, the panel recommended that the committee address discrepancies in the list where designated individuals no longer hold the positions identified in those designations, and the committee is taking this forward as part of the comprehensive review of the committee's list mentioned in part one of the committee's programme of work. Madam President, I'd like to turn now, just before concluding, to conditional exceptions to the ban on supplying nuclear-related items to Iran, notably in relation to items for light water reactors, which the Council considers to be less proliferation sensitive than heavy water reactors. The committee must be notified of supplies to Iran of items falling under this exception, and during the reporting period, the committee received one such notification by a member state concerning the delivery of items for Reactor Unit 1 of the Bushehr nuclear power plant. With regard to the obligation of member states to freeze assets on their territory that are owned or controlled by a person or entity listed by the Council or the committee, and to prevent any assets being made available to such persons or entities, the committee received one notification from a member state pursuant to paragraph 15 of Resolution 1737 and para 4 of Resolution 1747, which allows for payments owed by a listed person or entity under a contract entered into prior to the listing to be made from that person or entity's frozen funds, subject to notification to the committee. I should note in concluding, Madam President, that a slightly more detailed version of this report will be available online. I might also note that we will make continuing efforts to try and de-dry these reports in future, but there are certain legal obligations which the committee is required to transmit publicly, of course, to the or in this session with the Council. So thank you.
Je remercie.
I thank Ambassador Quinlan for his briefing and for his efforts with a view to... the report. I now give the floor to those council members who wish to make statements. I give the floor to the representative of the United Kingdom.
Madam President, and I thank the 1737 committee under the chairmanship of Ambassador Gary Quinlan, as well as the panel of experts for their continued work in supporting implementation of the Security Council's resolutions on Iran. The report may be dry, but the work that the committee does is very important. On the 24th of November, the E3+3 in Iran reached an important and encouraging milestone when a first stage agreement was reached on the nuclear issue. Since then, a first round of talks on a comprehensive agreement was held in Vienna in February, where there was a willingness and a commitment from all sides to negotiate in good faith. Those talks continued in a positive atmosphere earlier this week. The interim agreement was a significant step forward and allows for time to negotiate a comprehensive solution. In January, the United States and the European Union delivered the sanctions relief, and we welcome the latest IAEA report of 20 February, which confirms that Iran has continued to implement the nuclear measures agreed under the Joint Plan of Action. Meanwhile, and importantly, the bulk of sanctions remain in place, including all UN sanctions. We should continue to enforce these sanctions robustly to ensure that economic pressure continues to act as a peaceful incentive for Iran to negotiate a comprehensive solution. Madam President, turning to the work of the committee, we are concerned by breaches and possible breaches by Iran of its international obligations. Reports that a cargo ship, the Kloss C, was found to have dozens of Iranian-supplied rockets on board in hidden containers is deeply worrying, including the fact that the final destination appears to have been the Gaza Strip. This is not the first time that we have seen reports of potential arms transfers to Gaza involving Iran. We would like to see the panel of experts investigate the circumstances of this case, identify individuals and entities responsible, and make recommendations to the committee as appropriate. In January 2013, the panel of experts' report clearly and unanimously concluded that Iran's ballistic missile launched last year constituted a violation of Resolution 1929. The committee contacted Iran twice on this issue, but Iran has yet to respond. And as this report recalls, Iran has also not replied to the committee regarding a request for information on an intercepted arms shipment to Yemen. We call on Iran to engage with the committee on such incidents. Madam President, we are concerned that Iran continues to provide substantial military and financial support to Hezbollah and the Syrian regime in contravention of the UN embargo on the export of weapons by Iran. We urge member states to continue to enforce the sanctions regime and encourage member states to act on and report all suspected violations of these sanctions. We look forward to the panel of experts' final report in May. Madam President, the United Kingdom is committed to finding a peaceful, negotiated solution with Iran on the nuclear issue. This will be a long-term process. We do not expect instant results, but we remain fully committed to finding a diplomatic solution. The Geneva Agreement and ongoing negotiations are the best opportunity we have for real and sustainable progress. All sides must continue to make every effort to succeed.
Je remercie le représentant du Royaume-Uni.
I thank the representative of the United Kingdom for that statement, and I'll give the floor to the representative of France. Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to thank Mr. Ambassador Quinlan and his team for their activities and trimestral report just presented. It's been 10 years now that the nuclear program of Iran and the uncertainties weighing over its exclusive peaceful purposes have been a source of concern for the international community and a threat to international peace and security as well. For 10 years, and to no avail, the Council has called upon Iran to negotiate. Each time, we have come up against a refusal to dialogue and a headlong rush forward into nuclear and ballistic program development. This has brought the Council to establish a sanctions regime while calling for Iran to negotiate. This so-called two-pronged approach and the new attitude of the authorities in Iran finally made it possible to have a discussion of substance on the nuclear issue. The adoption of the Joint Action Plan of last November, implemented since January, is progress for peace and security. For the first time, the group of E3+3 has obtained from Iran that for 6 months it will suspend the more sensitive activities of its nuclear program. Time has thus been given to the negotiations. Dialogue is but beginning, and the Joint Action Plan is but an interim agreement. The mandate given to the Group of Six by the Security Council is to find a long-term solution to the nuclear program of Iran with a view to restoring trust in its exclusively peaceful purposes. This is the thrust and objective of the discussions between Iran and the Six, which will be meeting, which just met in Vienna, and which will continue in April. We approach them in a spirit of openness, but also watchfulness. With regard to the dialogue between Iran and the IAEA, progress has finally been accomplished. The Director General indicated in his report dated 20 February, and that, which was published in Vienna today, that the commitments undertaken in the context of the Joint Action Plan of the Group of Six, Iran has respected its commitments. It also indicated that Iran has implemented confidence-building measures agreed to with the agency last November 11, and these are positive trends. But all issues are far from being resolved. The qualification by Iran of all questions and suspense which are related to the possible military dimension of the nuclear program means that a solution is still a long way off. Iran knows it and needs to bring and provide expected responses. Finally, I'd like to recall that the action plan does not in any way mean that the sanctions regime against Iran decided by the Council of the United Nations should not be fully implemented while awaiting a comprehensive solution of the crisis. And thus it's with concern that we learned the information about an Israeli naval ship intercepting last 5 March a significant load of weapons which apparently were of Iranian origin and which were destined for Gaza. It's up to the panel to confirm the origin of these weapons, but it's effectively, if it's effectively the case, this would be a violation of the embargo on weapons decided by Resolution 1747, and which might call into question Iran's good faith and its willingness to deal with the concerns of the Security Council. We hope that the panel of experts will be able to rapidly engage dialogue with Israel and with Iran in order to shed some light on this case. With regard to the committee of work of 1737 and the ambassador's report, I regret that the recommendations in the report of last year were not implemented. It's unfortunate. These were simple recommendations and operational recommendations geared to making the sanctions more effective. I hope that their efforts will redouble next time. Thank you. I thank the representative of France for that statement, says the president, and I now give the floor to China.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish to thank Ambassador Quinlan for his briefing, and I wish to commend him for the enormous efforts he's made to push forward the work of the Security Council 1737 Committee. China always attaches great importance to the work of the committee and stands ready to work with the chair in implementing the various activities of the committee in a balanced, orderly, and prudent manner. It is a consistent view of China that all the parties are duty-bound to implement the Security Council Sanctions Committee resolutions on Iran in an accurate, comprehensive, and faithful manner. However, sanctions are not an end in itself. The work of both the committee and the council are to serve the goals of the diplomatic solutions. It is hoped that the committee will follow the resolution's mandate and follow the principles of objectivity, fairness, and pragmatism, and based upon clear facts, solid evidence, and extensive consultation, probably settle the individual cases, violations of the sanctions. And China will act upon the above principles and participate in the work of the committee in an active manner. China welcomes the positive momentum demonstrated by the late diplomatic efforts and welcome the fact that the IAEA has maintained consultations with Iran on outstanding issues and reached agreement on the future steps. As the first stage agreements between P5 and Plus One have been successfully implemented, the negotiations on the comprehensive agreements have unfolded and the dialogue with Iran has entered a new stage following at the just concluded first round of dialogues. P5 Plus One have conducted in-depth and frank exchanges with Iran on questions of concern and have reached consensus. With the progress of the negotiations, however, challenges face the future dialogue and negotiations. Therefore, China proposes, number one, to stick to the process of P5 Plus One dialogue with Iran and bring the mechanism of P5 Plus One dialogue with Iran into full play through joint commitment and consultations on an equal footing in order to solve the issue peacefully. Secondly, to reach a long-term solution that is comprehensive, fair, and reasonable, that accommodates the concerns of all the parties. And thirdly, to try and follow the principle of step-by-step and reciprocal process. Fourthly, to create a favorable atmosphere for dialogue and negotiation by maintaining confidence and patience. And fifthly, on the basis of focusing on addressing the Iran nuclear issue itself, we should also adopt a new security concept featuring mutual trust, mutual benefit, equality, and coordination. China has always been trying to promote dialogue in an impartial and responsible manner and will participate in the dialogue in a constructive manner and making an unremitting effort to promote the comprehensive implementation of the resolution. Thank you.
Representant de la Fédération.
I thank China and I'll give the floor to the Russian Federation.
Благодарю вас.
Thank you so much, Madam President. We're grateful to Ambassador Gary Quinlan for his briefing on the work of the committee he heads. In our view, dear colleague, the very dry nature of your briefing is what makes it stand out. Russian diplomacy has over many years worked quite actively to achieve fair agreements on the Iranian nuclear program on the basis of the step-by-step reciprocity spelled out by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Russia, Sergei Viktorovich Lavrov. We're satisfied that these efforts have yielded results and that on November 24th of last year, between the P5+1 of international mediators and Iran, a breakthrough agreement was reached. This agreement has recognized the unquestionable right of Iran to develop a peaceful nuclear program, including to enrich uranium, subject to an understanding that outstanding issues around it will be closed and that the program itself will be placed under agency safeguards. It is also important that the aforementioned agreement presupposes a weakening of the sanctions regime against Iran. It is gratifying that the suspension of unilateral sanctions, whose legitimacy were never recognized, and which for a lengthy period of time have had a negative impact on the socioeconomic position of the Iranian people, has already started. Of course, the final objective in this context is the lifting of all sanctions, both those adopted by the UN Security Council and unilateral ones. After a fundamental agreement has been achieved regarding a final settlement around the Iranian nuclear program, all sides must, in good faith, implement the Geneva Plan of Action and also actively work on, by July 20th of this year, elaborating a final package, one which would allow for a comprehensive settlement in the near future of the situation around the Iranian nuclear program on the basis of compromises in all areas. In this respect, we welcome Vienna's 17th to 19th of March second full-fledged round of negotiations between the six and Iran. It was useful and reaffirmed the general readiness to continue constructive cooperation and detailed discussion. There was detailed discussion of the sanctions issues, of Iranian enrichment activities, issues of international cooperation with Iran in the field of peaceful nuclear energy, as well as ways to allay concerns regarding the heavy water reactor in Iraq. It has been agreed to continue intensive contact between the six and Iran at political and technical levels. The next experts' consultations will be held at the beginning of April, following which, on 7th to 9th April in Vienna, there will be another regular full-fledged round of negotiations. Such a tight schedule lends the necessary positive momentum to the process to focus work on those aspects where the greatest differences exist and to move to searching to solutions for them. Madam President, we are comforted by progress in cooperation between Iran and the IAEA. This cooperation has reached a new level and provides for implementation by Iran of voluntary transparency measures. Ones, which it should be noted here, transcend the frameworks of Tehran's commitments under its safeguards agreements with the agency. Now, we hope that in the near future, the IAEA will close the Iranian dossier and will engage in normal cooperation with Iran. We're convinced that at this current sensitive stage, the efforts of the international community must be tailored to promoting a positive negotiations process between the six and Iran. This is what we are guided by in our work in the 1737 Sanctions Committee. Today, it is critically important that the committee and its panel of experts should act in a very careful, balanced, and objective way to progress a political and diplomatic settlement of the situation around the Iranian nuclear program. We're convinced that progress on the Iranian issue will have a positive impact on the situation throughout the whole of the Middle East and will help in overcoming the dangerous trend of recent years when attempts were made to resolve a number of crisis situations by using force. We, for one, will continue to spare no effort for a final comprehensive closing of issues related to the Iranian nuclear program. We cherish the hope that the ill-considered steps by some of our partners in the six will not lead to a loss of coordination of this very important mechanism. Madam President, I thank you.
Je remercie le représentant.
Thank you to the representative of the Russian Federation for that statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Ambassador Quinlan, for your briefing and for your able leadership of this committee. Ambassador, your work on this issue has particular value at this time. Today, I'd like to touch on three reasons why. The first relates to the ongoing P5+1 talks. Second, to troubling signs of sanctions violations. And the third, to the important roles of the committee and the panel of experts, which is set to begin work on its next report, the details of which will be essential. On the nuclear talks with Iran, the Security Council has a clear stake in the outcome. The Council has imposed four rounds of sanctions in response to Iran's failure to adhere to its nuclear obligations. Any deal with Iran must address squarely the Security Council's multiple resolutions on this matter, a key principle of the Joint Plan of Action. It is critical that all member states continue to fully implement sanctions on Iran. Full implementation of sanctions will support the diplomacy as well as limit Iran's illicit smuggling of arms, funds, and technology. In this regard, we find the recent indications of serious violations of UN sanctions troubling. Earlier this month, Israel announced that it stopped a massive shipment of rockets, mortars, and ammunition that Iran was smuggling to Gaza militants. We call on the committee, with the support of the panel, to investigate all aspects of this incident. The committee should also be prepared to impose real consequences, such as possible sanctions designations, on those responsible. At the same time, reports that Iran sought to transfer arms to Iraq in violation of Security Council Resolution 1737 are alarming. We note that the Iraqi authorities have committed publicly to respect fully all relevant Security Council resolutions, which is welcome. In this connection, we encourage the committee and the panel, in cooperation with the Iraqi authorities, to investigate these reports and confirm full compliance with Resolution 1737. This leads me to my last point about the important role of the committee and the panel. As a rule, if and when violations like this occur, the Security Council's Iran Sanctions Committee has a responsibility to tighten enforcement. We look to the committee to step up efforts to help states implement the sanctions and to be poised to respond to all reports of sanctions noncompliance. In addition, it is essential that the panel continue its aggressive travel schedule and continue to raise awareness about sanctions. In this context, as the panel begins work to draft its next annual report, we encourage the panel to present as much information as possible regarding sanctions compliance. We commend the panel for its independent reporting and urge it to continue its cooperation with member states and the committee. The committee needs to know the names of violators and their methods. We also encourage the panel to ensure that its report has specific, implementable recommendations that can tangibly improve sanctions implementation. The panel's recent recommendations, which were specific in nature, enabled the committee to engage in productive discussions and how best to move forward. Madam President, the United States looks forward to continuing our work with the committee as we address the challenges and issues raised here today. Monitoring implementation, quickly responding to violations, and cooperating with the panel are fundamental to the success of these sanctions and to supporting our negotiators as they seek a comprehensive solution. Thank you.
Merci, la représentante des États-Unis.
I'd like to thank the representative of the United States, and I'm going to give the floor to the representative of Chile.
Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, President. We'd like to thank Ambassador Quinlan for the presentation of the trimestral report on the work of the Security Council Committee established in virtue of Resolution 1737. We value the work of Ambassador Quinlan at the head of this committee. Given that this is our first time participating in a briefing of 1737 Committee, we'd like to express my country's pleasure at seeing the agreement reached on the 24th of November between the P5+1 and Iran, and also our pleasure at seeing the agreement of cooperation between Iran and the IAEA. This is a unique opportunity for Iran to prove that it has a nuclear program in place with peaceful purposes. Chile welcomes with satisfaction the most recent report of the Director General of the IAEA on the application of the Safeguards Agreement with regard to the Non-Proliferation Treaty and relevant resolutions of the Security Council and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Specifically, we value the fact that highly enriched uranium is decreasing significantly as a result of the agreement of the 24th of November, and we value the fact that the IAEA recognizes the fact that Iran is complying with its commitment to slow nuclear activities in the more sensitive areas in exchange for a lifting of some economic sanctions. This is news which our country is following with interest, but also with caution. Our country took note of the issues put forth by the various delegations during consultations held with the committee last trimester. Specifically, we took note of those issues put forth, which indicate that in the context of current negotiations between the P5 plus one and Iran, it is not prudent at this point to proceed with actions which might dampen the spirit of dialogue and the process. Chile understands that we are not working in a political vacuum, and thus any type of action that might be misperceived by the parties should be avoided. However, until a definitive and satisfactory agreement is reached, and until it is endorsed by the Security Council, measures imposed by the United Nations with regard to Iran's nuclear program will continue to be in effect. In this context, my country would like to express its decisive support to Committee 1737 and its group of experts, and hopes that its work will not be impeded and it will be able to fully complete its mandate in a timely and effective manner. This is particularly relevant given the incident that was recently denounced that took place in the Red Sea, where a ship was intercepted that was transporting ballistic missiles, apparently of Iranian origin, and which were headed to Gaza. We hope that the group of experts will, as quickly as possible, begin to collect information on this case with a view to having objective background information to enable us to decide whether or not this was a violation of relevant resolutions. To conclude, Chile expresses its vote of confidence that in a spirit of collaboration and commitment observed by the government of Tehran, in its dialogue with the P5 plus one regarding its nuclear program, we can also see the reflection of other equally urgent issues in the Middle East where Iran plays an important role. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the representative of Chile for his statement, and I'm going to give the floor to the representative of the Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to thank Ambassador Quinlan for his briefing on the work of the 1737 Committee. We greatly appreciate his able leadership and the panel of experts for their robust activities. Let me begin by reiterating my government's support for the joint plan of action agreed between the P5 plus one and Iran last November. We welcome the initiation of the implementation of the agreed measures since January. We are keenly watching the negotiations towards a comprehensive resolution of the Iranian nuclear issue. We hope this process can have a positive influence on other outstanding non-proliferation issues. We also underline the importance of the IAEA's role in resolving all present and past issues, including the possible military dimensions of the Iranian nuclear program. Regarding today's briefing, we consider it important that the obligations set out in the Security Council resolutions remain in full force and are faithfully implemented by all member states. As highlighted in the briefing, we think the various communications received from member states and international organizations indicate the importance of the committee's work and its role in the sanctions regime. We look forward to the panel's new final report with high expectations, which will shed further light on the implementation of the Security Council resolutions. Finally, as mentioned in the briefing, we note that there are important overdue pending issues on violation cases. Also, some recommendations from last year's final report have not been fully implemented yet. We encourage all committee members to strengthen cooperation, to find common ground and practical solutions to move forward these pending issues before the next report is submitted. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the representative of the Republic of Korea for his statement. And now I'll give the floor to the representative of Argentina.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Firstly, I'd like to thank Ambassador Quinlan for presenting the trimestral report on the work of the Security Council Committee established in virtue of Resolution 1737 and for his dedicated and devoted stewardship of it. Madam President, we have received the most recent report of the Director General of the IAEA, dated 20 February. In this regard, I'd like to highlight that according to the report, Iran has applied in the period of 3 months that was specified the initial practical measures set forth in the annex to the cooperation framework with the IAEA. Moreover, we believe that it's auspicious that the agency and Iran have agreed to the next 7 steps to be taken before the 15th of May, 2014. And we also believe it's auspicious that the report further recognizes that Iran has fulfilled its obligations with regard to the measures in the joint action plan agreed with the P5 plus one. As we've said in this council, in December and in other fora, we understand that the agreement achieved between the P5 plus one and Iran reaffirms the value of diplomatic measures, and it represents a significant step forward in the area of the Iranian nuclear program issue. For this reason, we'd like to congratulate the governments of the United States, Iran, France, China, the Russian Federation, the United Kingdom, and Germany for the entry into force of the agreement last January. Further, we are pleased that the P5 plus one and Iran have requested that the IAEA undertake the monitoring and verification activities related to nuclear energy, which are necessary in order to apply the joint action plan. And we are also pleased to see that the Board of Governors of the IAEA approved the agencies taking on these tasks last January. In this regard, we believe it's important that the agency have the facilities necessary in order to implement this in an effective manner. Madam President, while we welcome the progress achieved in recent months in the negotiations, we have taken note carefully of the Director General's conclusion that there is still much to be done in order to resolve pending issues. In this regard, we believe that it is essential that Iran cooperate actively with the agency in all pending issues, especially with regard to the possible military dimensions to the Iranian nuclear program, whereby there has not yet been significant concrete progress made based on what the report says, and we further believe they must comply with their obligations included in the resolutions of this council. Madam President, with regard to the work of the committee, as indicated by Ambassador Quinlan, the sanctions imposed by the Security Council continue to be in effect and should be applied by member states. In this regard, I'd like to reiterate my delegation's concern with regard to the quality of the lists of persons and entities subject to sanctions developed by some committees. And we'd like to highlight the importance of the entries on the list be underpinned by sufficient data so that member states can adequately identify them and apply sanctions. For this reason, we support the efforts of the chair to improve the quality of the committee's lists and thereby improve the effectiveness of the sanctions. Thank you very much.
Je remercie la...
I'd like to thank the representative of Argentina for her statement. And now I'm going to give the floor to the representative of Jordan.
شكراً السيدة الرئيسة. بداية نتقدم بالشكر إلى سعادة المندوب الدائم لأستراليا على تقريره اليوم. يرحب وفد بلدي بالجهود التي تبذلها اللجنة في مساعدة الدول والمنظمات الدولية.
Please go ahead.
Promise you.
Mr. Ambassador, I thank you once again for the report.
This I'll make sure. يرحب وفد.
My delegation welcomes the efforts exerted by the committee in assisting the states and the international organizations in regard to the questions relevant to the implementation of relevant resolutions regarding the sanctions imposed against Iran through providing guidance and answers to the queries by states regarding technical questions regarding the prompt and full accuracy of the implementation of the resolutions. We encourage the committee to continue conducting the necessary investigations regarding the breaches perpetrated and to consider the possibility of a continued engagement by the committee with the Iranian government to clarify the pending questions in the breaches perpetrated included in the report, especially as regards the question of launching prohibited missiles during the military maneuvers called the Great Prophet 7, in addition to the breaches related to the incident of the arms shipment intercepted on board aboard a vessel en route to Yemen on the 23rd of January 2013. We appreciate the efforts expended by the committee to consult with the other sanctions committees to issue guidance to states regarding the manner of implementing targeted financial sanctions. Finally, we welcome the achievement of the Geneva Agreement on the joint plan of action between Iran on the one hand and the P5+1 on the other hand. However, at the same time, we encourage the committee to continue discharging the tasks assigned to it in the fullest manner. Thank you.
Je remercie le représentant de la Jordanie pour sa déclaration.
Thank the representative of Jordan for his representation. I'm going to give the floor to Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Madam President. I also thank the chair of the 1737 Committee, the distinguished permanent representative of Australia, for his presentation. The report that he said is dry but not entirely devoid of interest presented to us today addresses the issues of implementation and compliance as they affect the mandate of the 1737 Committee. We note and welcome the willingness of member states and international organizations to invite the panel of experts to assist in the investigation of cases related to violations of national implementation of sanction measures. We commend the committee's continued provision of guidance, assistance, and timely responses to member states and international organizations on verification of the compatibility of requests with the sanctions regime. These actions are clearly demonstrated in the reported cases, such as those received from Hungary, Sweden, Kuwait, Argentina, Turkey, the UAE, and UNIDO. We commend the committee We welcome the assistance provided to the committee through the transmission of useful information by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as well. We urge the Islamic Republic of Iran to respond to the committee's letters of 12 April 2013 in relation to the panel's conclusion that it had launched the Shahab-1 and 3 missiles in contravention of Resolution 1929. Iran should also respond to the committee's letter of 21 May 2013 in relation to the panel's conclusion concerning an arms shipment intercepted in Yemen, which represents a probable violation by Iran of the Resolution 1747. We note and welcome the cooperation the committee has received from member states that have updated the committee on the enforcement actions they have taken. We see merit in the panel's recommendation that the committee encourage states to be alert to the procurement of items destined for an end use prohibited by relevant resolutions. We commend the committee for launching a consultative process with other relevant sanction committees to consider the implementation of targeted financial sanctions against agents and affiliates of designated persons. Finally, we would like to commend the distinguished permanent representative of Australia for his astute leadership of the 1737 committee. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the representative of Nigeria for his statement, and now I'll give the floor to the representative of Lithuania.
Madam President, I would like to thank Ambassador Quinlan for his quarterly briefing and to commend the committee and its panel of experts for their important and dedicated work. Lithuania remains concerned over the nature of Iran's nuclear program and its failure to comply with numerous Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors resolutions obliging Iran to suspend all reprocessing, heavy water, and enrichment-related activities. In his latest report, the IAEA Director General has once again noted that the agency was not in a position to conclude that all nuclear material in Iran was used for peaceful activities and that it remained concerned about the possible undisclosed military dimension of Iran's nuclear programs. At the same time, we welcome the 24th November 2013 Joint Plan of Action agreed by the E3 Plus 3 and Iran as the first confidence-building step. We further call on Iran to engage constructively with the E3 Plus 3 in reaching a comprehensive agreement on all outstanding issues and welcome another round of talks that took place on 18-19 March in Vienna. We are encouraged by the fact that the 6 initial practical measures foreseen in the framework for cooperation between IAEA and Iran have been implemented. We also welcome the agreement on the next 7 practical measures. The overarching goal of the ongoing negotiations is to build mutual trust and confidence that Iran will not be able to produce nuclear weapon, and then in return the economic and financial sanctions be lifted. Pending the comprehensive solution to the Iranian nuclear issue, all Security Council sanctions imposed on Iran remain in effect. Iran is required to cooperate fully with the international community on all outstanding issues before the measures imposed by the Security Council can be lifted. Member states, in their turn, are obliged to rigorously implement the sanctions regime. Their governmental and private entities, as well as nationals, must strictly adhere to restrictions related to an engagement with their partners in Iran. The work of both the committee and the panel of experts in verifying compliance with relevant Security Council measures should therefore remain unaffected. As the next annual report of the committee's panel of experts is due in May, we need to make sure that all relevant recommendations contained in the 2014 report are duly addressed. In this regard, we welcome discussions on the implementation assistance notice related to a catch-all clause and hope for a more speedy progress following the adoption of a notice related to an equivalent provision by the DPRK Sanctions Committee. Iran's repeated violations of the conventional arms embargo is a matter of grave concern. Despite the complete ban on the export of any arms from Iran and a ban on the supply of major conventional weapons to Iran, there have been reports of weapons transfers to Syria, to non-state actors in Gaza, and to a number of states. The committee's letter regarding the seizure by Yemeni authorities of arms and related material remains unanswered by Iran since May 2014. Recent official reports on interception of a vessel allegedly carrying weapons to Gaza are also worrying and need to be investigated by the committee and its panel of experts without delay. Lithuania supports all efforts geared at finding a comprehensive negotiated solution to the Iran's nuclear issue that would fully reassure the international community of an exclusively peaceful nature of its nuclear program. We hope that Iran's recent engagement in E3+3 talks would also translate into its meaningful cooperation with the committee. Thank you, Madam President.
Je remercie.
I'd like to thank the representative of Lithuania for his statement, and I'm going to give the floor to the representative of Rwanda.
Madam President, thank you for convening this meeting. Let me start by thanking Ambassador Gary Quinlan of Australia for the update on the 90-day report and for his able leadership of the committee. We encourage the committee for this year, 2014, to continue working with member states that seek guidance in the implementation of the sanctions regime. With the continued support from the panel of experts, member states can be reassured of proper guidance towards the implementation of the relevant Security Council resolutions. Madam President, we would like to reiterate our belief in the three pillars of the treaty on the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, namely non-proliferation, disarmament, and the use of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. In our, it is our view that every country has a right to develop nuclear energy for peaceful purposes, and in this context, Rwanda appreciates the current positive momentum under the P5+1 and Iran talks. We take note of the initial steps and commitments undertaken by Islamic Republic of Iran towards an implementation of the joint plan of action adopted in Geneva on 24th November 2013, and we hope that Tehran will continue fulfilling its obligations. In this respect, we welcome the current spirit in the ongoing negotiations aimed at reaching a comprehensive agreement that could permanently remove the threat that the Iranian nuclear program poses to the countries of the region. In the meantime, the sanctions regime remains in place, and the 1737 committee shall continue to implement relevant resolution of the Security Council with the assistance of the panel of experts. However, we urge all stakeholders, particularly members of the P5+1, to avoid any decision that could undermine the current talks. Madam President, as stated by the committee chair, Iran did not reply last year to two letters of the committee related to incidents investigated by the panel of experts, a letter dated 12 April 2013 on the launches of the Shabab 1 and 3 missiles during the Great Prophet 7 exercises in contravention of Resolution 1929, and the letter dated 21st May 2013 on an intercepted arms shipment in Yemen in probable violation of Resolution 1747. We hope that during this year of 2014, the Iranian government will have a better approach toward the committee, which could amplify the current positive momentum. Similarly, Rwanda is worried that reported violations of the sanctions regime by member states and other entities. It is important for all actors to implement the sanctions regime in good faith and work towards negotiated solutions. In this respect, we are concerned at reports on the interception in the Red Sea and by the Israeli forces of a ship transporting ballistic missiles to the Gaza Strip, and reportedly of Iranian origin. We hope that the panel of experts will carry out a proper investigation in this regard. To conclude, Madam President, Rwanda looks forward to the final report of the panel of experts to be submitted in May. We do hope that with the implementation of the Geneva Joint Plan of Action, the progress in the current talks for the comprehensive agreement and the full collaboration with the 1737 Committee, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and other international stakeholders could play an important role in ensuring that all sanctions that continue to harm the Iranian people are permanently lifted. I thank you.
I'd like to thank the representative of Rwanda for his statement, and I'm going to give the floor to the representative of Chad. Thank you so much, Madam President. Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the 1737 Committee. Ambassador Gary Quinlan, thank you so much for your 90-day update on the activities of the aforementioned committee. I welcome the fact that the chairman of the committee focused on strengthening communication between the 1737 Committee and the member states, as well as international organizations and all those active in the implementation of the resolutions and the very significant focus on the provision of information to member states. It's this communication which has enabled member states to transmit reports or communicate reports of measures undertaken by their national institutions, as well as the assistance provided by members of the committee. My country congratulates the committee for its adoption of its six-month work program and takes note of the six recommendations of its panel of experts. By way of conclusion, I would like to say that regarding the launches of Shabab 1 and 3 missiles by Iran in violation of paragraph 9 of 1929, according to the panel of experts, and regarding the interception of a shipment of arms towards Yemen, which is a likely violation, according to the committee, by Iran of paragraph 5 of resolution 1747, the committee must continue its communication or its communicating with Iran to find answers to this. In addition to negotiations between the six mediators and Iran, according to the Geneva Plan of Action of November 2013, must continue and lead to positive results. I thank you.
Je remercie le représentant du Tchad.
I thank the representative of Tchad for that statement. I will now speak in my national capacity as Luxembourg. I, too, would like to thank Ambassador Gary Quinlan for his presentation and for the commitment he has demonstrated with his team at the helm of this committee created in virtue of Resolution 1737. The trimestral report that he presented today shows that the committee continues with important work with the support of the resolutions of the Security Council. Luxembourg would also like to express its appreciation of the group of independent experts created by Resolution 1929 for the invaluable support that they provide to the work of Committee 1737. The interim agreement adopted in November last November in Geneva is an important step. For the first time in almost a decade, it's been possible to reach a detailed agreement focused on the more alarming areas of the nuclear program in Iran. We commend once again the energy and determination of the High Representative of the European Union, Catherine Ashton. Her role in conducting the negotiations between Iran and the E3+3 continues to be central. The implementation of the joint action plan defined by the interim agreement started last 20 January. Negotiations with a view to reaching a comprehensive long-term solution have also begun and are addressing some of the more crucial issues, such as the enrichment of uranium to 20%, the development of advanced centrifuges, and the Arak heavy water reactor. Any comprehensive long-term solution must take into due account the Security Council resolutions, and this is set forth explicitly in the plan of action. Reaching a comprehensive solution is a laborious and difficult process. We expect from Iran that it act in good faith and that it fully cooperate and actively cooperate with the international community. We noted with interest the last report of the Director General of the IAEA of the 20th of February on the implementation of safeguards agreements in the context of the Non-Proliferation Treaty and the provisions of the relevant resolutions of the Security Council. For the first time, the report reflects progress in implementation of the cooperation framework agreed between the agency and Iran on the 11th of November last year and the interim agreement between the E3+3 and Iran. We applaud the fact that Iran has implemented in the time allotted the initial practical measures relating to the cooperation framework and the fact that the agency has been able to begin its activities of monitoring and verification of measures contained in the interim report. Development of the framework of cooperation between Iran and the IAEA is a significant step forward with a view to proving the exclusively peaceful nature of the Iranian nuclear program. As highlighted by the Director General of the IAEA, the measures undertaken by Iran and other commitments that it has undertaken are a positive step forward, but there is still much to be done in order to resolve the pending issues, especially those relating to a possible military dimension of its nuclear program. We await with impatience specific information from the agency on the implementation by Iran of the 7 new measures, practical measures that it is bound to implement between now and the 15th of May under the framework of cooperation. Restoring the international community's trust means that Iran must respect the international obligation it undertakes and the pertinent resolutions of the Security Council and the IAEA Governors Board of Governors. While we await a comprehensive long-term solution, the Council's resolutions impose sanctions on Iran, and they continue to be in effect, as indicated clearly in the trimester report of the 1737 Committee. In the last trimester, we learned with deep concern of information that reports on contracts of the sale of arms from Iran to Iraq that allegedly were concluded in 2013. We also learned of the interception in the Red Sea on the 5th of March of a ship from Iran, the Close Sea, transporting missiles of Syrian fabrication and headed to Gaza. We recall that the import, export, and transfer of any weapons from Iran is banned under the relevant Security Council resolutions. We await with interest more information to shed light by the parties concerned, as well as the group of experts, so that they can provide that to the committee. The confirmed or supposed violations by Iran of the sanctions regime continue to be a source of grave concern. We regret the fact that the committee was not able to take decisive measures against the violations as indicated, such as the interception of a cargo of carbon fiber that was headed to Iran, or the Shabab missile launches, or in 2012 during the Grand Prophet exercises, and the interception in 2013 of a cargo of weapons off the coast of Yemen. The group of experts is also a key role to play in order to help states that are attempting to implement the sanctions. We commend the work of the group in order to investigate Iran's attempts to get around the sanctions. The committee should bend its efforts to making this information public and disseminate best practices to allow for detection of violations and prevent them. Luxembourg wishes every success to the negotiators trying to reach a comprehensive long-term solution within the time allotted of 6 months, as defined by the plan of action agreed between Iran and the E3+3. We understand that they will meet on the 7th to the 9th of April in Vienna. Nevertheless, while we await a comprehensive solution, the international community must remain vigilant. All states must acquit themselves of their obligations and effectively and completely implement the sanctions put in place by the Security Council. In this same spirit, the Sanctions Committee on Iran and its group of experts must continue with their key work in two areas: to help states to better understand and better implement the sanctions, and to set forth the follow-up imposed as required for the violations of resolutions under the Security Council. I resume my functions as President of the Council. The Security Council has reached an end of its consideration of this matter, and the session is adjourned.